chapter.
Of Luke, the Lord sent forth 70 disciples, and he gave them power to cast out demons and heal the sick. And if you'll read from the 10th chapter, in the 10th chapter up to the 18th verse, you'll find when they returned, they said to the Lord, it was wonderful. Everywhere we went, we healed sickness, and the demons who were possessing the demon-possessed people were subject when in thy name we cast them out. And the Lord Jesus said in so many words, do not be surprised at this. And these wonderful words, I hope you'll remember them all week. In Luke 10:18, he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Satan had not been in heaven, he could not have fallen from heaven. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was able to cast Satan out of heaven, he was able to cast his spirits or demons out of human souls. Now, whenever you find the word devils in the plural in the Bible, it's always a mistranslation. The Greek word is demon, not devils. There's only one devil. The word devil is dia, or diabolo. Abolo means to thrust, and diat, at, or through. So the devil means one who throws at. The word Satan or Satan means an adversary. And the Apostle Peter was led to read, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, in the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, let me read to you there a few words. In the second chapter, notice what it says. The 10th verse, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, it was for your sakes. I forgave it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. I wonder how many people in this auditorium can say that intelligently. You don't have to make any confession to me. I don't have my collar turned around or have on a high vest. But I know that every single one of you have had plenty of dealings with Satan. I wonder if you can really say we are not ignorant of his devices. I wonder if you put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the tricks of the devil. In the language of the world, he has a bag of tricks. And if one trick doesn't work, he'll use another one. He's accused in the Bible of the crime of deceiving the whole world. Paul says, I fear lest as the serpent through his subtly beguiled Eve, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. There we read that Satan beguiles. In 2 Corinthians 4, we read that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Are you lost? Are you lost or are you saved? He says, if you're lost and the gospel is hid, it is because Satan, as the god of this age, had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, Satan has many different ways of blinding the mind of the unsaved person. But you'll notice now that he beguiles and he blinds. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we read that he bewilders. I'm sure you know that the religious world is bewildered. I'm sure that if you've been listening to what's going on in Cyprus, along the borderland between Israel and the Mohammedans, and what's going on behind the Iron Curtain, and how utterly futile are our efforts when you see what's going on between France and Algeria, and why they attacked our embassy over there when we're trying to help them all we can. I think you can see that this whole world system is under the control of Satan. And if you cannot see that the religious world is under the control of Satan, it's because he has blinded and beguiled you. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? 7 out of 10 church members are bewitched. They were bewitched because they tried to supplement the sacraments and the ritual and the religion of the Old Testament, and with that, bring it over into the gospel of the grace of God and pervert the gospel of grace and bring upon them the anathema of God. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Anybody in this age and dispensation of grace who will try to go back under the gospel of the kingdom or under the Ten Commandments, when the Lord says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage, that person is worse than foolish. He has indeed been bewitched. So the devil beguiles and he blinds and he bewilders and he bewitches. Now he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, the 12th verse, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? Now, if you've studied Latin, you know what Lucifer means. Lux, Lucis, Ferro, Ferri, Tuli, Latum. You remember those things? Lucifer means a light bearer. Now, the light bearer fell, and he's the prince of darkness. But we learn in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians that he's able to transform himself into an angel of light. Why is it that we have today pseudo-Christians carrying on their program in the name of Jesus Christ? Why do we have so many satanic cults today carrying on with Christian phraseology and Bible terminology? Because Satan has his servants who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They transform themselves like he does into messengers of light. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He is the god of this age. Now he fell. What did he do? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. You see, the course of Satan is down, down, down. And if you're a Christian, your course is up, up, up. Now notice in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, notice the 13th verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. You think that when that serpent went into the garden, he was a curling snake and pointing to an apple on the tree? Who do you suppose gave us that picture of the devil in the garden? Why, it was the devil himself. Who do you suppose gave you the picture of this creature with a red suit and with hoofs and horns and a pitchfork and a tail? That has nothing to do with the Satan of the Bible. He was the most beautiful creature and had the highest place of any created being of God. Notice what it says here. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Now there are two in the Bible who are called the anointed. The word Christ is from the Hebrew Mashiach and the Greek Christos, and Christos means the anointed. When you read of Jesus Christ, it means Jesus the anointed. And Satan was the anointed cherub. Undoubtedly, he was jealous of the Lord Jesus Christ before he fell. He was perfect in the day that he was created. But he was not willing to be a creature. He wanted to be exalted above the throne of God. And God said, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. Now Satan is the prince of this world. As we said, he has complete control, except as God by the Holy Spirit. And if you can tell me in any other way how civilization is being held together. The Christian in this world is the salt of the earth, and Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the only thing that is holding civilization together today is God by the Holy Spirit. Because the long-suffering of God is salvation. And before Satan breaks forth in all his fury, and he's going to do it, God is going to accomplish his purpose. Satan rules and God overrules. Satan is powerful. God is all-powerful. Satan is ubiquitous. God is omnipresent. Satan can get anywhere, just like this, from place to place. But God is omnipresent. God fills all in all. Now, if you'll notice in the book of Revelation, in the 12th chapter, notice, in the 12th chapter of Revelation, the 7th verse, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. Now this is not the first fight that Michael had against Satan. It's not the first or the last. We read in the book of Jude, the next to the last book of the Bible, that Satan contended with Michael for the body of Moses. Moses had a very unique burial, you remember. The Lord permitted him to go up on the mountain and look over and see the promised land. That because Moses had smitten that rock twice, God did not permit him to go over. He permitted Joshua to lead them over. And Moses didn't die from old age. He didn't die from sickness. He died at God's appointed time. And the children of Israel tried to find his body, but they couldn't because God buried it. And they never knew what became of that body till you get to the Mount of Transfiguration in the book of Matthew, and you'll find Moses and Elijah up on the mountain. Elijah went to heaven without dying. Moses died, and God buried him and then let him come on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Satan went to Gabriel and he said, I want that body. I have the power of death. The seed of the woman has not come to bruise my head. Death has not been abolished and that body belongs to me. And Michael would not bring railing accusation against Satan, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Let me ask you a question, my dear friend. If the archangel of God could not meet, was not a match for Satan, do you think that you are a match for Satan? I want to tell you this one thing I never do, and I never joke about the devil. The devil can put me flat on my back. The devil knows everything about me, and the devil knows everything about you, and he knows every weak spot you have. Don't you joke about the devil. When you read of the Satan of the Scripture, you may ask yourself this question. You're going to have a revelation when you leave this world. Who is this creature? Who is this mighty power that God has permitted in for some reason? All of these centuries, why has God permitted him? I dealt with my uncle when he was dying. He had one thing always he'd bring up. Is God omnipotent? Is God omniscient? Yes. God never created the devil. He asked me why God created the devil. He never created the devil. He created the anointed cherub that covereth. He created Lucifer. Well, he said, did he know that when he created him, he was going to fall through pride? Yes, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world and from before the beginning of the world. He said, why didn't God create him so he wouldn't sin or rebel? And when he was cast out of heaven, did he know that he was going as an attractive creature to Eve and beguile her through his subtlety? Yes. Why didn't he keep him from it? And why didn't he create Adam and Eve so they would not submit to the beguiling of Satan? Well, my dear friends, if you can answer that why, you can answer every why in the Bible. You answer the question, why is Satan? He's here, isn't he? And we read in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saved you, you were the strong man's house. That's what he tells us in the 12th chapter of Matthew. That no man can take the strong man's house until he first bind the strong man. And we read in the first epistle of John that the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what he's going to do before he gets through. And when we think of Moses and Michael and Satan, remember Hebrews 2:14 and 15. That Jesus Christ became a partaker of flesh and blood. That he might through death destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You remember in the 16th chapter of Matthew when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to Calvary and I'm going to be nailed to that cross. I'm going to die. Peter took him aside. Simon took him aside and he rebuked him. Lord, this shall never be. And the Lord looked at him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. The death of Jesus Christ was the undoing of Satan. By his death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And that was the fulfilling in part of Genesis 3:14 and 15. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, but the serpent shall bruise his heel. And after he was raised from the dead, one of his servants, a conscientious, religious, law-keeping man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, under the control of Satan, though he thought he was the servant of the Lord, he was converted. And the Lord near Damascus saw him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Arise and I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to send you out now to turn people from Satan to God." That is one of the missions of every Christian on this earth. If you're not turning sinners from Satan to God, you're not doing the will of God. And the great majority of people in this neighborhood, just as much as the people in Africa, belong to Satan. They need to be turned to God. And there's only one way to turn them to God, and that's to preach an omnipotent, eternal, sinless, crucified and resurrected Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the business of the devil to paralyze you, to make you impotent, to make you indifferent. So you care not, as the sinner said, "No man careth for my soul." I wonder how many of your acquaintances can say, "No man careth for my soul." They can't hear without a preacher. And they can't have a preacher unless the preacher goes and gives the word of God, and the devil will see to it that you do not do that if he can have his way. Have you ever noticed when you sit down and you want to read your Bible? And it's such a difficult thing. You make up your mind you can do anything else. The devil will let you do almost anything else. But if you're going to read your Bible and study your Bible, you know the devil knows that that's the great weapon that's offensive against him. When the Apostle Paul said to put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the tricks of the devil, he said, "Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girt about with the truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword, take the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Well, how can you use the sword of the Spirit if you don't know it? When you read everything else but the Bible. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ went out for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he was hungry. And Satan suddenly appeared and said to him, "Why, you're the Son of God." He said, "Command these stones to be turned into bread." And the Lord Jesus Christ drew his sword and he said, "It is written." Then Satan said, "Get up on the pinnacle there and cast yourself off. The angels will take charge of you." He said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then he took him up on a high mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the power of them. And he said, "All of this power belongs to me. If you'll get down and worship me, I'll give you all this power. I'll transfer it." I wonder if the devil would take Secretary of the State Dulles and Mr. Anthony Eden and the rulers of all the nations and put upon them on a high mountain and show them the kingdoms of this world today. You think they're any better off than they were back there? Oh, you talk about Christendom. Christendom's not going to save this civilization. No, my dear friends, there's only one thing that'll save this civilization.
And that's to take the prince of this world and put him down in the bottomless pit. And there's only one who can do that. And that's the one who said, I saw him as lightning fall from heaven. Listen what he's going to do. In this 12th chapter of Revelation, he said, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, which has accused them before our God day and night. Don't forget that. If you're a Christian, you have a lawyer representative in God's presence. Jesus Christ is a man, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's at God's right hand pleading for you. And someone has called Satan the prosecuting attorney for the kingdom of this world. Day and night, Satan brings accusation against every saint of God. And sometimes his accusations are true, aren't they? Notice this in 1 Timothy. I had several people with whom I've talked lately, and they know exactly what this means. He said the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will remarry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to speak. Now, if you're a tattler or a busybody, notice why. I will therefore that the younger women marry and bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. How many church members have turned aside after Satan? How many young people and older people in this neighborhood that I've talked to that once back in a little country town? They were in the Sunday school. They were in the church. They had a testimony. Now instead of coming to the church, they're in the taverns. They're all up and down. They're in sin. They've turned aside after Satan. Oh, my dear friends, remember his power. I'll never forget the first intelligent sermon I ever read concerning Satan. Message that I heard was his satanic majesty. Don't forget, God has permitted him today to have power all over this world. And he still has that power. You remember what he did to Ananias and Sapphira? They had a perfect right to say, I don't want to give my money. They sold their houses and lots, and they brought just a little of that money. And Peter said, is that the full price? He said, yes. He said, you're a liar. Why did you permit Satan to fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to me, you've lied to God. I want to tell you, my dear friends, how many people have been deceived just like he deceived, Satan deceived them. You remember the 13th chapter of Luke? There was a woman who was sick and she was healed on the Sabbath day. And they wanted to stone the Son of God to death for healing a woman that had been sick for 12 years. That's what the religious people did. The most religious people that ever lived on this earth nailed the Son of God to the cross of Calvary. Hell will be filled with religious people. And Satan is perfectly willing that you should be very religious, but he doesn't want you to be righteous. He doesn't want you to be spiritual. And he said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound these many years, be healed on the Sabbath day? Who do you suppose is the author of sin and ungodliness and sickness and death? Satan. We were talking the other day, how do you account for the fact that some of God's choicest saints on beds of sickness, only up for a little while? Because even those of us who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. Though our outward man rot thoroughly, the inward man is renewed day by day. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a saint or a sinner. Either sickness or old age or accident will overtake you. And death will come. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And there's only one real remedy and cure for this epidemic of death. And that's what our brother Duane was praying about. We're already, our citizenship is in heaven, and even up there, listen what God says. He says, I want every Christian, wherever you go, to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. Satan is at the head of world darkness in the heavenlies. You see, his throne and his dominion is there. He has access to the earth. He's the prince of the world. He's the god of this age. He's going to be in the tribulation. He's going to be Apollyon, which means the destroyer. And he's going to sit with his man in the temple of God and show himself as God. You know, he wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to worship him. He didn't succeed. He wanted people who claim to be Christians to worship him. And I would say at least 45% of the people in all the satanic cults and modernism and ritualism all over the world, they're worshiping Satan whether they know it or not. We're not ignorant of his devices. And notice here in closing what he's going to do. He prevailed not, neither was their place known any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. And I heard a sound voice, a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. He's going to have a short time. How would you like to live in Chicago with all the saints gone? With the light of the world and the salt of the earth gone and all the members of the body of Christ raptured. That's what some people are going through in Chicago. That's what some people are going through after the church has been taken to glory. Satan is going to be let down here for at least 42 months to have his own way. He's going to sit in the temple of God and show himself as God with his man of sin. And he's going to be worshipped. And whosoever doth not receive the mark of the beast in the hand or in the forehead will not be able to buy or sell. They'll have to die of starvation. And if you take the mark of the beast, then you'll be cast into the lake of fire with Satan. Beloved, wake up. Wake up. These are dangerous days. They've always been dangerous days. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And you say, well, this is what I believe. Listen, my dear friend, if you don't believe what the Lord gives by the Holy Spirit in Christ to hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, if you don't believe that, I know exactly what you believe. You believe exactly what the devil wants you to believe.
Every person is either controlled by the spirit of the prince of the power of the air or by the Holy Spirit. And some of the most cultured, refined, lovely, benevolent, charitable, philanthropic, religious people are controlled by the devil and they don't know it. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Don't let him deceive you anymore.